Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside CEO of The Wine Growers, Carissa Cruz. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
I feel like you almost choked on my name there.
I almost did.
Which was kind of laughing because you're not actually eating the Lifesaver gummies. I am eating.
I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah. Okay.
There must be something upsetting me about you right now. I don't know what it is.
Well, I brought the bubble bell, so
maybe that's
at least I'll give you a reason to be frustrated with me or annoyed by the end. At least our producer, Jeff, will be.
God save us all.
I think he'll be annoyed for all of us, so I'll let him do that. I don't know why I choked. I think just out of
fine.
Practice.
It's totally fine.
I haven't spoken in, you know, a couple hours, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you may have noticed the return of the bubble bell sitting over here by me because our guest today is all about bubbles.
Oh, boy.
And what I think is very cool, because we'll get her talking about it, Joy Sterling from Iron Horse Vineyards. But she, this year, they're 50 years old, and I have read in an article that she's quoted that she aspires to be part of our Sonoma County Wine Growers Century Club, and she's currently halfway there.
She's halfway there.
She's halfway there. But I kind of love that, because I think, you know, and you've been involved with our Century Club from the beginning, honoring our family farmers who've been farming something in Sonoma County for 100 plus years and are now also farming wine grapes. And I think I've thought about honoring those families and how great it is to have them all in the same room and telling their stories, but to actually have that be a piece of what the younger generation of 50-year anniversary are aspiring to, I think, is even cooler. Not something I'd considered.
I think you're right. I mean, 50 years is
nothing
considerable.
Nothing to snuff at.
Well, especially when you think about, I mean, starting your business in 1976 in Sonoma County, I mean, it was not a given that anything was going to work out in terms of wine. And then, her parents also took the chance on bubbles.
On bubbles and helping form a new AVA in Green Valley. So we're going to learn so much today about all things sparkling in Green Valley and Russian River Valley.
And all the different bottlings that they do for different causes. They do a lot of special wines that go to saving the ocean and, I don't know, all sorts of things. So she'll have to explain.
Yeah, it's so much, but it's very cool because, and you also recently wrote a column for our Good Stuff about just how Sonoma County's well suited for the next generation, and we're kind of bucking the trends because so many of our farmers and have the next generation actually taking over the farms.
I know, which is quite something to think about. And she's Joy's second generation.
She is.
And yeah, we've had a lot of these guests on and they've left and come back and they're ready to go for their fourth, fifth, sixth generation. It's crazy.
Crazy. Well, we're going to welcome her into the Half Century Club and talk about how we got here and what's next.
With a bubble bell.
With a bubble bell.
All right. Ding. We'll be right back on with Joy Sterling on today's Good Stuff. We are in studio with the one, the only half Century Club member, Joy Sterling from Iron Horse. Welcome.
Thank you for coming back. I'm in a club of one.
Yeah.
Well, you may not be alone.
I think there's others out there.
There are, but it's so informal now.
Yeah.
But we all of us in the Half Century Club are striving to be part of the Century Club.
I know, and I love that so much. You're the first person that has said that, and we talked about it a little bit in our intro before you joined us, just that I think that's an unintended benefit of our Century Club is to
create, inspire.
Yeah, inspire, which you do in so many ways, Joy, so that's a very appropriate word.
Oh, no, I talk about it every single day. I mean, I leap out of bed and I say, one more day in hitting the Century Club.
I love that so much. I just always one day away. It's like, you know, and then pretty soon I'll be here.
Yeah.
That's a
new
way
it works. That's how, at least that's how it worked for me. All of a sudden I woke up and I was like, I'm 50. Dang. So
oh,
I hope
well,
one
you
day
have
I
that to
up.
Look forward
well,
to.
No, I already did.
One more day. One more day toward 100.
One more day. Okay. I'm going to back myself out of talking about how old we are. Yeah, so there we go. Yeah.
Well, we were also talking in the intro, starting a winery in Sonoma County in 1976, as your family did, was not a given, right? I mean...
But it was brilliant.
So tell us all the reasons why.
Well, from my parents' standpoint, if you talk to each of us in the family, we all have a different origin story.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's almost like Rashomon. So my interpretation is that everything led up to this. We moved to France in 1967, and that is where I believe the journey began. My parents, we traveled around the French wine regions as a little nuclear family, and I think increasingly my parents just felt they were born switched to birth. They were clearly winery people, and they started looking for a place in France. Fortunately, that did not come to pass. Force of circumstances brought everybody home to California, and they resumed the search. And at a dinner party, my mother was sitting next to someone who said that he knew of a vineyard that was available. And she said, well, we'd like to see it. And he thought she was kidding. And he said, well, how about tomorrow? And she said, fine.
Wow.
And they were the proud owners 2 weeks later.
Jeez.
The power of a dinner party.
So impulse is how that happened.
Yeah.
or as my mother would say, where angels fear to tread.
Oh.
Fools rush in. But it is an amazing year. And what for California wine, 1976.
Yeah.
So that is the part of the magic of it. And their part was being on the Sonoma side, number one, and heading to the coast. That's what was very novel. At the time, even the UC Davis Agricultural Extension agent said, no, this is wrong. It's too cool. You're too prone to frost. You're going to lose a third of your crop. Every vintage. And because of the experience in France, number one, knowing where they wanted to grow Pinot Noir, and my mother being a San Franciscan and growing up going to the Russian River, that taught them that, no, this is what we want. At the time, it was the most westerly vineyard in Sonoma County.
Isn't
so that's
crazy?
The pioneering part.
Absolutely. So, but when they were looking in France, were they looking in Burgundy and Champagne? Was it, I mean, they were already sort of set on Pinot Noir and Chardonnay?
Not necessarily. No? I think that they were very open. In fact, they even looked in Armagnac, and the deal breaker there was that pigs were part of it. My mother said, "No,
no. Wine grapes, yes. Pigs, no."
No.
Okay. So many questions.
That's very different.
So many questions. Pigs were included.
I don't know why. You know.
Yeah.
That was just not working. So there were. So I think that they were very open and experimental. It was. I think it had more to do with the growing of something.
Yeah.
The creation of something, the lifestyle, and I think they felt this was a place where France and California really had so much in common.
Hmm. Interesting. And so the most westerly vineyard.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it is
interesting
to think.
Well, now it's not.
Yeah, now it's not. But at the time, so 1976. So I mean, everything has, the Sonoma County, everything in wine has really grown up around you over these last 50 years.
Well, that's great.
I mean, that's a lot to.
I mean,
a lot
the
to
family
witness.
Showed up, and suddenly wine happened in Sonoma County.
I mean, you know, it's amazing. Actually,
I'm just saying, like, since '76 on is pretty monumental
for sure.
Yeah, you think about.
Well, for a lot of people, it's you know, and it was bicentennial.
Yeah.
some, I mean, that was our bicentennial year, and now that's so important to us.
Yeah.
This being our 50th and America 250. But I don't think that was a factor at the time. There were so many things that just happened.
Yeah.
And then when you look back, it all makes sense. At the time, it was just nuts.
So talk about that. They buy a vineyard. What's there? What's planted? And how did y'all start?
There was 110 acres of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. It was a distressed vineyard. Rodney Strong had a lease option on the property that he chose not to exercise, so it reverted to the owners, and who just wanted to sell. So it was, my parents were the White Knights.
Great.
There was no winery. The house where my mother now lives was built in 1876, and it was listing on a foundation of 19th century beer cans, which my mother says she wishes that she still had, because we could sell those on eBay.
Oh my gosh, for sure.
You know, on Easy Street.
Yeah, pay for the next vintage, for sure.
So it was, there was a lot to do. It took phenomenal, phenomenal vision. The garden, which my dad created, was literally one steep slope of wild blackberries. It was a fixer-upper, to be sure. But that is, that's what makes it so incredible. And it's that vision that carries us today. Yeah. We're still working on that vision. The idea from the very inception was to be an estate property. Only our own grapes. And it's the foundation of our belief system that that's the only thing that's proprietary to us. Everything else is methodology. And our property is so magical, it is capable of yielding delicious, distinctive flavors, and it's our job to pull that out of the ground. So from the very beginning, our growth has never been in size, but purely in quality. And what is fabulous is that our winemaker, David Mungsgaard, who, by the way, is celebrating his 30th vintage this year also, is so on the same page with us in terms of that goal. Every year, how can we do better? How can we do better? And what's so terrific is that now every vintage, when you're tasting our wines, they are just getting better, and we have not hit the end yet.
Well, the goal is to never hit the end.
Correct.
Yeah.
Continuous improvement.
Absolutely.
So always sparkling, was that the vision? Or was that, there was, I mean, is that something you brought back from France as well? Or how did you think about
Pinot Noir.
That? So it's just, it was going to be still wine.
Totally. They bought Iron Horse based on a 1970, I want to say, four vintage of Pinot Noir that they tasted. It was the first made off of that property. Huh. And of course, you know, there's some lore that says the first vintage off of a new vineyard yields all the magic, and then it gets dumb and takes a while to grow up again. But they just said, this is it, this is it, this is it.
Do you know who made that wine?
Rodney Strong.
Okay, so Rodney Strong himself made that wine. Wow.
And so pretty fantastic. And the but no, it was Pinot Noir. Our first vintage of sparkling was 1980. And that was because friends from France came and visited us, and they tasted a vingris that we had made, bleeding from the Pinot Noir. And they, at a picnic, said, oh, well, this is the base wine for Champagne.
Wow.
And they said, just come to Champagne and we'll show you.
Oh, really?
That's a good invitation.
Yeah, when we took it up.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
As you should.
As you should.
That is a bubble bell moment right there.
I want to know more about who your parents were in 1976. I mean...
Oh, they were gorgeous.
Tell us a little bit about them. How old were they? Sort of what other careers had they had?
Well, they were in their 40s.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think about that, and I look in the mirror, and I say, Troy, you slacker. What?
That is a false.
Yeah.
That is false.
Yes. Unbelievable. Yes. They were gorgeous and glamorous and fun. and clearly out of their minds.
and all the right ways.
And, yeah, in so many wonderful ways. And my father was an attorney then, and he continued to practice law for 5 years. He was the cash crop. And
I like that.
While my mother ran the winery.
Yeah.
And they were, they did everything. And in those days, Sonoma County, we did tours, and all of the principals went on the tours, to do tastings wow. around the country. And they were completely in love with the whole process. And my mother, in restoring the house, this is a fun story. She told the contractors they had 9 months. And they said, she said, well, if I can have a baby in 9 months, you can restore a house in 9 months.
There you go.
And guess what? They moved
in. They did it. Beer cans and all.
Exactly.
It's just crazy.
Exactly. So it was a very exciting time. I mean, I was only a bystander. I didn't join the winery for 10 years. I waited till all the hard work was done.
Good for you. Yeah, sure. All the hard work was done. Well, the beginnings, right? So who helped plant the vineyard? Did they do that kind of on their own?
Remember, there was 110 acres there, and Forrest Tanzer was involved in that.
Okay, so that was already, and he continued
and he
to
stayed
maintain
on.
That.
He mm-hmm. stayed on as winemaker and became a partner in the winery until 2005.
Okay.
Great. So, Miss Joy, what were you doing during those early days?
Well, your parents were working so hard.
Well, actually, this is a very timely story. I had gone to New York in 1970. I graduated college in 75. So in 76, I moved to New York to become a journalist. And my first job was, and this was the job title, copy boy for United Press International. And I spent bicentennial summer as a cub reporter in Rhode Island covering the tall ships.
Wow. Copy boy.
That's
copy
amazing.
Boy. What the heck?
And so you spend the summer like just with a notebook and a typewriter and a phone? I mean,
well, we actually used computers then. It's okay. Amazing, but we did. And so that summer the tall ships came and Queen Elizabeth came on the Britannia and President Ford welcomed her, and I'm standing behind the velvet ropes with the press corps next to Helen Thomas.
Oh, wow. Legend.
And I was exactly where I wanted to be.
Did she nudge you out of the way?
Not even a little bit. She was just tremendous. I was so proud. Very exciting.
What an opportunity.
Yeah.
So is that the tall ship that, well, we have to take a break in a second, but I want to come back and talk a little bit more about your early days as a copy boy. Fascinating.
I feel like I remember seeing your ID badge at some point. It's floating around
somewhere.
Or a picture of it or something, but yeah.
Incredible. 50 years ago. All right. We'll be right back on The Good Stuff with Joy Sterling. Stuff with our guest Joy Sterling from Iron Horse, one-time copy boy.
I think once a copy boy, always a copy boy.
I love it. So 19. Okay, sorry.
Sorry. Are you
momentary?
Did you just jump in when I'm sitting here with a bottle of bubbles in my hand?
I did.
Whoa! Party!
And I know you're supposed to do the psst, but Joy, we've talked about this.
I love the pop. I love the pop.
Jeff just hit the bubble bell. That is a studio first. He voluntarily in response. Thank you so much.
All right. I love the pop. I know you're not supposed to, and yet it's just so. It never scares me. I guess it's because it's not supposed to upset the hush of the moment.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think it does ever.
But I say yay.
Exactly.
That is exactly.
Bubbles are supposed to cause a yay.
They're
not a hush.
They're universally yay.
I agree with that.
That is very true.
I think that is very, very true.
Okay, so now that Chris has got some bubbles in hand.
Cheers.
Cheers. Here's to 50 more years,
here's
Joy.
Here's to your first half century and to the next
half
century.
And here's to joining the Century Club.
I know.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Cheers. Clink. Clink.
Clink. Clink. Okay.
All right. So I'll give you some time to drink that glass, Carissa. But copy boy to Iron
Horse.
Don't
we all want to say yum?
Yeah. Okay. Let's just, Joy. The rest of the segment, let's just drink.
Let's just say yum, how tasty it is.
We're going to turn this over to Jeff, and we're just going to have our glass of bubbles.
Just drink our bubbles.
It is delicious. What are we drinking, Joy, though? We should just ask that.
Well, this is perfect. It's Spirit of 76. So, for our 50th anniversary and America 250, and I want to say, even though the 4th of July is behind us, it's all year we're celebrating. This is a major celebration for an entire year. And it is a 2019 Brut Blend, Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, aged 5 years entourage, freshly disgorged. And we are down to, as of today, I'm guessing because I don't have the inventory in front of me, but maybe 20 cases left.
Ooh.
What?
Yes.
Everybody get to Iron Horse right away.
Totally.
Run. I like that.
But it's exciting. It's exciting it's gone. But it's, and you know what? We aren't going to make it again for at least 10 years. I think on our 60th, it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly on our 100th, we'll
for
do it.
For sure.
This is our theme.
Ding, 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 ding. I love it.
Yes.
Yeah, I can get excited about that.
It's delicious. I want to know a little bit more about how you go from covering the tall ships in Rhode Island as a copy boy to running Iron Horse into its 50th anniversary and beyond.
Well, first of all, I want to say that when I wanted to be a journalist, think about the timing. This was when Woodward and Bernstein were it, and I wanted to be both of them.
Yes.
And so that was...
That does not surprise me at all, Joy.
But that was my inspiration. And I went from UPI to KPIX-TV in San Francisco.
Yep.
And then I went to Atlanta and worked for Ted Turner and was there the day CNN signed on. From there, I went to... I had a tilt theory of the continent, that every 2 years I had to go back and forth or it would flip over. So I went to Los Angeles, and I really belong in a museum because there I got to cover the 1984 Olympics and the shuttle landings.
Wow.
Yeah, and those are in a museum, so I belong in there. But the...
We're going to work on that.
A living museum. Iron Horse
in the museum, not you.
I celebrated my 10th anniversary in the news world by quitting and joined the winery.
Wow.
And I was in the enviable position of being able to weigh heaven and hell, i.e. corporate life, and amazingly, heaven won. And it doesn't always. But I waltzed in and said, here I am.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Were they expecting you? You just showed up and you're like, I'm going to run this show from now on?
I didn't run the show. I took the normal introductory path of sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. And I spent the next 20 years traveling around the country representing Iron Horse. well, selling Iron Horse, mm-hmm. selling Iron Horse wines, and had the most fabulous experience doing that. Wine is such an incredible passport. You can just pick up the phone and call anybody and talk about wine. Mm-hmm. They're excited to hear about it. And now, of course, being in sales, you know, I was thrown out of an account or two.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, it was absolutely, absolutely a great time. And think about, you know, who the sommeliers were and are. I mean, it was a great time.
Such a growing time for food and wine in America.
Well, and you're shaping it.
And very, very exciting. Very exciting.
What was had you been thinking about making that switch for a while? Like, what was the final decision for you? Like, I'm going to move back to Sonoma County and
I got career advice from my immediate superior, who told me I was on track to be just like him. Hmm. And I went home and cried.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay, so.
That is a very relatable experience, I think, that everyone's probably had at least once in their life.
I was like, oh, my goodness, yep. I zigged when I should have zagged.
Oh, and, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was so lucky that I had an alternative, you know, just right there. So very, very fortunate for me. And I pinch myself every single day. Because I just love, love, love what I'm doing.
Yeah, that is very evident whenever I see you or hear about you.
Bubbles.
Or drink the bubbles.
Makes you happy.
No, but you really have. I mean, I think you have, you own your name so perfectly because you are always such a joy to be around. We talk about it even our team at the Wine Growers. Like, you breeze into a room and it's just always happiness. You're there with a bottle of bright,
bubbles.
Delicious bubbles, which who can say no? But you've done so much for our community, and I think one of the things appropriately looking at this sort of flagship time is you've also been featured in the White House several times, which is no small feat. Tell us how that all happens.
Well, that's very exciting. So it began with the Reagan-Gorbachev summit meetings, and it was a complete gift. This was 1985. I had just joined the winery. David Berkley, who had a retail shop in Sacramento called David Berkley's Fine Wines, knew the Reagans from when they were in the governor's mansion. The Reagans wanted to promote California wine. David became the unofficial, unsung, unpaid wine advisor, and he recommended Iron Horse, obviously because of our excitement and newness and deliciousness, but also we pertain to Sebastopol, the Russian River, mm-hmm. and part of diplomacy is to pick food and wine that gives converse. If nothing else, you could talk about the history of Russia in California.
Yeah.
And so this was a 1983 Blanc de Blanc. And remember, our first vintage was 1980. So this was so early.
Wow.
And it just changed the trajectory.
I didn't really realize that it was that soon after one, you joining the winery, and two, that you even had a vintage to offer.
Yeah. It was just astonishing.
Okay, we need to take a quick break. We're going to come right back on.
Wait,
Joy.
I want to hear more about how they brought peace to the world.
We are going to hear that.
Oh, yes, then you're welcome.
We're going to hear that when we get back on The Good Stuff. Speaking all things bubble with Joy Sterling of Iron Horse today, and how bubbles can save the world.
It really
bring peace.
Knock down walls.
Knock down walls, yes.
Well, it did with the summit meetings. All of the historians agree that the two superpowers were simply poles apart until that moment when they were clinking glasses, and just like that, the wall came down. It's unbelievable.
The power of wine.
It's true.
I know, it's incredible, and I am so happy that we did that for the world. And you're welcome.
And it's certainly part of a historic moment, though. There is no doubt, right?
Oh, it was. How cool is that? It was. And then here's another one that's one of my favorites, is that the White House ushered in the new millennium with Iron Horse.
Stop. Yeah.
And that is, you know, so we made a special cuvee called, we're so brilliant, Millennium Cuvee. And
you're always right on.
You don't need to overcomplicate.
Very timely. Really. Very timely.
It's bubbles. Yeah. It's happiness.
Yeah. So that was super exciting. And then moving forward, during the Obama administration, Iron Horse was served. Our Rainbow Cuvee was served at the LGBTQ June receptions.
Wow.
So there's so much wonderful history there.
Yeah.
And but you know, history is great, but you have to keep moving beyond
What's
it.
Next?
You build on that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's what it's for, is there's nothing to rest on there.
That's great.
Well, yeah. And I would say that, I mean, you've certainly been there for this evolution in bubbles, where it's not just for special occasions, it's not just for monumental moments in history, it's an everyday beverage.
For Tuesdays, Mondays.
Absolutely.
Noon on a Saturday.
Saturday afternoon, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and you know, sitting when you move into your new home,
yep,
and you have pizza to go,
bubbles.
Love it.
Sitting in the kitchen on the floor.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You don't
Perfect
even need a wine
that.
Opener. Yep. So, I mean, you don't have to unpack.
No,
it's ready for
it's
all
perfect.
To go.
It's ready. It's ready to go. And I do think that that is an exciting development with bubbles. Taco night.
Yeah, you're here.
Yeah.
Taco Tuesday. Come on. And then people say, okay, well, which bubbles? Well, depends on what's inside the taco.
Oh.
All right. Well, talk about the many wines that you make at Iron Horse.
Yeah. You know, we have a saying, there's an Iron Horse for that.
It's true.
Well, we have Summer's Cuvée, so it's summer.
Yeah.
Got an Iron Horse for that. You want to say thank you? We have an Iron Horse for that. It's called Gratitude.
Getting married?
Getting married?
We got an Iron Horse
for that. Wedding Cuvée. I mean, it's...
Harvest Cuvée.
We got it. It's really so that we are, you know, and we'll come up with a new cuvee at the drop of a hat. You want to go stargazing? We got one for that. Stargazing cuvee. I mean, so exciting. So as many opportunities as there are to enjoy bubbles, there are opportunities to create new bubbles.
Yeah.
And in fact, we're releasing a new wine in August. Carissa, you've tasted it. You had a sneak peek.
I was going to ask if we're going to talk about this.
Golden Cuvée.
Delicious.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Which only comes in magnums. And we're going to debut it at our Magnum Experience, which begins the weekend of August 29th.
And why the golden?
50 years.
Years.
And then there's a double play there. So if you happen to be personally celebrating a 50th anniversary... It's kind of perfect for
it
you.
It is.
It's time for a Magnum.
Well, you know, Magnum is the ideal size. So
it
when
sure
people
is.
Ask me very often, why don't you make half bottles? I say, almost all our production is in half bottles.
Right.
It should all be in Magnum.
It really should.
Oh, my
gosh.
I would love to see that. Magnum only bubbles from Iron Horse.
That's well, it does taste better. It just does.
It does.
Ages better.
You.
It tastes better. And also, Magnums mean sharing.
Yeah. It's a statement.
It is.
It's more people
imitation.
Around the table.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which we love.
Well, it was a delicious preview, so thank you for that.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. It is really exceptional, so it's going to be a very, very fun thing.
So how can people find out more? How can they come visit? How can they try all these wines?
Well, we are by reservation, but we're very open-minded. You could make the reservation on site.
I like the
flexibility.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but let me say we're not easy to find. Everybody gets lost the first time, and which is fine. But when you find us, it's worth it. And of course, at that point, you deserve a glass of bubbles.
And you will have arrived.
Totally. You know, the road to paradise is curvy.
And time will stop while you're there.
And paved with gold, isn't it?
It's paved in restoration for the coho salmon.
that is fair, which is a great project.
Okay.
Oh my God, so many things to talk about.
We have to say goodbye.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Everybody go visit Joy at Iron Horse. Wrapping things up on today's good stuff after a lovely conversation with Joy Sterling of Iron Horse.
Never enough time. I mean, we could literally do back to back.
She has so many stories.
We could do the month of Joy and just do four episodes in a row.
And now we're going to talk about this particular bottling because it's true. They have an segment. Iron Horse for that.
Yeah, it's so fun because I feel like I have been on their list for a while and it's fun to bring in different sparklings to the team and be like, what's this and what's in it and how long was it aged? And
she didn't even have the chance to talk about they also do still wines. They do still Pinots and Chardonnays, and that her lovely mother Audrey still lives in that house that took 9 months to renovate.
Yeah, that is a great
with
story
the beer cans.
What a great story. Well, so many ways. We should probably give everyone the details about visiting Iron Horse.
Yes. So as she mentioned, appointment only, but you can make an appointment while you're there. Open 10 to 4, Thursday through Sunday, 10 to 3, Monday through Wednesday. They are on Ross Station Road in Sebastopol, so off 116. It's a little tricky, but there's some signs.
Right? There are some signs. Yeah. And once you get up there, right, you're tasting outside. There's an old barn. It's just the vista, the views are just beautiful. You're a little zigzagging through the vineyard to get up to the tasting sort of barn bar and, you know, driving past the house and getting to see all the history.
A very personal experience up there. Never feels rushed. And
And we didn't even call. I mean, Iron Horse has been so focused on their commitment to sustainability. They've done so much restoration on their property. And, just really great stewards of our wine community, of Sonoma County, of Green Valley, of Russian River Valley, all the things.
And helped push that appellation, which we also didn't have time to talk about. So
not
many
even
things
push, they
with Joy.
Helped start and found the Green Valley, Russian River Valley appellation. So I think she is very proud that her parents' name is on the original document that got sent for approval to the TTB.
Yeah, so, impressive.
Yeah.
Great family that has given a lot.
No doubt. So.
Tuesday night.
It's Tuesday night.
Well, I mean, there's an Iron Horse for that.
There
for
is.
For sure.
Well, do you know, I've been enjoying all year, so I'm just going to because the Golden's not out yet, so I'm going to have to wait until August for that, although I did get to try it, and it is delicious, but I'm going to do the Year of the Horse. Because that's been a good theme for the year. And I think we're just going to ride that to the end of the year.
Ride that fire horse all the way to the
end. Ride the fire horse. But it's delicious. And I absolutely love that wine. That's going to be my Tuesday night wine.
Well, and I love that they made that wine. They're always just ahead of everything. So, the 2019 Spirit of 76, certainly for the 50th anniversary, is one option.
Yeah.
But I also like Summer's Cuvée.
Oh, there you go.
It's 2021 vintage Summer's Cuvée. So how about both?
I think you should do both.
I'm going to do both.
Magnum. I might throw a bottle of Gratitude in there too.
Half bottles each.
Half bottles each.
Love that.
The 750s. That is amazing. What a great story. Yeah. I mean, what a delight. She is, and Iron Horse is getting honored by Farm Bureau this month as well for being leaders in conservation. So many accolades and really fun to have her as part of our half century club.
Yep, half century and nearing the century.
Yeah,
every
like
day
she said,
a little
every day,
more.
Every day a day closer to being part of the century club. What an inspiration.
She is an amazing person. So thanks for joining us, and thank you to Joy Sterling for joining us. And from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
And the sparkly good stuff. Cheers to that.